Now, The Positive Mind with Armand DeMille.
Hi, everybody. This is Armand DeMille with Julian Joiello and Linda Vanella with The Positive Mind here on WBAI 99.5 FM on your dial, bringing new ideas, concepts, and guests to help you lead a more positively minded life. And sometimes it's very hard to keep your temper. What a funny phrase, keep your temper. What is temper? Temper is a funny word. You know, people say, I lost my temper. When you lost it, where did it go? You know, what happened to it? Well, temper is a word that was originally used as a way of treating metal. You take steel or aluminum or something and you'd pound it so it would be just the right softness or hardness. You temper steel. You also temper chocolate. How does it get lost? Just one second, my friends. Theme. Back with you, my friends. Temper. How does it get lost? How many times do you hold yourself from blowing up? Want to talk about your temper? It is such an important thing. I can tell you that 90% of all the people who come in to see me come in because they have a problem with their temper. You would say it's about anger, it's about aggression, it's about how you can control yourself. Or can't control yourself, or choose to control yourself. And we are definitely going to be talking to you today about this. The telephone number is 212-957-2729. You might want to write that down, 212-957-2729. 957-2729. And we'll take your calls around this issue. What does temper feel like? What's the good news about holding your temper? What's the bad news about holding your temper? You know, some of the anger management people say you should not do it. You should express yourself. You should let yourself do it. There are other people who say, you know, it's nice you held yourself back. A lot of the people I grew up with tended to be explosive. And they were more proud of themselves when they weren't explosive than when they followed through. So if you're an explosive type, holding your temper may be a positive thing. If you're a repressed type, holding it may not be a positive thing. If you're a passive-aggressive type, there's where the question comes in. Because for every temper you hold back, another one comes out in another way. Linda, it's an important issue, isn't it?
Yes, it is a very important issue, especially as we see every day more and more. We hear about, as you mentioned, anger management, which is a result of people having difficulty with handling it, knowing what to do with that temper, with that anger emotion. Yes.
We hear about temper tantrums, and that usually relates to children. How do you deal with children's tempers? Because it seems almost chemical. that a child has these blow-ups. In fact, I wonder, would you be concerned if a child did not have temper tantrums? Would you think they're just a good child? What do you think, Linda?
Well, I think that at age two, it's very important that a child express emotion, express anger. And when we think about the terrible two and the temper tantrum stage, I would agree that you would wonder if the child didn't have some degree of outbursts or emotional challenges, because they're at a place where they can't really express themselves verbally. And we find more and more that that's the reason why they have those temper tantrums, and they can't, it is chemical, and they don't know how to express their frustration, so they will tend to throw something, bite, or do something that demonstrates that they're feeling something and they don't quite know how to express it.
Yeah, you've got to figure out that every child has got to be feeling a certain amount of anxiety. They get filled with anxiety, they look to become explosive, they want to be free with their bodies. They want to be free in movement. They have some people who are suppressing them, telling them, you know, calm down. And the result is a pushback against it. Now, I am sure there is a loving way that a parent could handle this that makes the child not feel necessarily explosive. But if you've been pushing yourself down your whole life, there's a piece of you inside that's going to explode. That's what I think a heart attack is. I think a heart attack is the temper finally released. You've been holding it back too long, you know? Boom, there it goes. I think that's what a stroke is. It's the temper released. Among the nicest people, the fittest people, you know, oh, he was so strong, he was so nice, he was so pleasant, you know? Killed by a heart attack.
I know, growing up, I never had any temper tantrums.
And never?
I was never that kid, because it was also not okay to do, I think. In my family, it was like, what's wrong with you? Why are you angry? So I would hold it in, and I didn't really have any kind of tantrum until I was like 16, and it was so intense for me. It was explosive, and I punched a wall, like, of course, you know, hurt my hand and ran around my house and cried and sat in the bathroom for hours, and it was just like, didn't know what to do with myself because I'd never like experienced that kind of anger before.
That's what it feels like.
Yeah.
Had that experience. Have you had that experience, Linda?
Yes, of course. I do remember myself as a child having an outburst and running around the house after my brother and actually beating him up, which was the first time in my life that I had ever. And it was a very scary situation. And I know that it was a buildup of me as a child not knowing how to handle my feelings and my anger and stuffing it up. And he was a teaser. That was the way he loved me. So, but yes, it grew to a point where I just popped. And I remember that feeling very, very clearly. And it was frightening.
Don't you suspect, I suspect, Linda, that you would be a great kickboxer. I think it's a sport you should take up.
I might agree.
We should get
you.
Alex to teach you. You know, okay. You got that power in you.
My daughter is a kickboxer.
All right, so
yeah,
there it
she
is.
Teaches it.
She's got the genes.
That's right.
There
she's
it is.
That's right.
There it is. Well, you know, speak about genes, which is right. I'm looking at the genealogy of temper tantrums. Think about your mother and your father. Your mother and your father. So I'm going to ask you both to do this. Temper control. Yes or no? Father.
No.
Okay. Father.
Temper
control.
Oh, no. He had tempered. He had
wait.
Outbursts. Father had
temper
outbursts.
Control means no outbursts. Outbursts is...
Outbursts. Yeah.
Okay. Mother.
I'm not sure.
Mother.
No.
No outbursts. Okay. Before them, your grandparents.
Oh, by no, I meant my father does have outbursts. It was
oh, he does
similar
have outbursts,
kind of like me, yeah. Where it would be like
every now and then
out of
an
nowhere,
explosive
it's
thing.
Explosive, yes.
But always on the edge. There's always a threat of it happening with him, right?
Explosive Italian.
Yeah.
It's very Italian.
Okay, so you're saying this is a cultural thing.
I think so.
You think it's cultural to have a kind of a pushback, ready to explode anger, among your Italian folk.
Sure. Yeah, I think so.
We're going to get letters.
Some Italian letters, some angry Italian letters.
Right. 212-957-2729. Well, have you lost your temper? Do you remember a time when you lost your temper and you regret it? now. Do you remember a time, Julian, like that?
Yeah. It was usually in relationships when I would have... I would have this explosive thing. I would never get angry for 2 years, and then at one point, a year and a half into a relationship, I'd get so angry, and it would last like 2 days, and I'd run around and punch things and say things I didn't want to say. So definitely.
And you regret having done those things now?
I regret it.
You wish you could take it back?
I guess now, no, but in the relationship, I did, for saying it then. I mean, you know, now I'm here, so. But I'm glad at the same time that I got that out, but that's more of a self understanding.
Well, that's a question now. The fact that you got it out had meaning.
So actually, I am happy I did. Yeah.
Losing your temperature. Losing your temper. You know, interesting that temper and temperature are related words. So is Tempur-Pedic. 957-2729 is our number. 212-957-2729. How about losing your temper on email and text? People write things on Facebook, email, and text that could be vicious.
There was you're saying this, and this reminds me of this one girl who's maybe 4'11", was in my class in sophomore year, and I would see her go on a temper tantrum on the phone and text like crazy.
Right. You see that?
But she would have this extremely calm facade, but she would be texting in all capitals, cursing and cursing and cursing and cursing for pages and pages at her boyfriend. And it was the funniest thing, because you just look it over and look like she was like on the internet, but meanwhile she's writing essays of anger towards her boyfriend. It was the funniest thing when I saw.
So there's a strange thing about having these ways of connecting with people, make it unusual, make it easier for you to express.
Definitely, yeah.
Anger in a way that's not verbal, because you're not facing them. Face to face is what makes the problem, right? How many here would love to be able to confront somebody and talk to somebody in your family right now, or somebody who you care about, that you would be able to just say to them how you feel? Or maybe you just want to rage at them. Maybe you just want to let them go. Imagine a man who knows his wife is going through menopause. And he sees her going through menopause, and he sees her at an edgy moment. And she's about to scream at him and blame him for everything in the world. Imagine that man really loves his wife, but knows he's going to get all this stuff coming in his direction. So he can either defend himself, which he sometimes does, or he could walk away. Or he could evoke it, promote it, and say, come on, give it to me. Because he doesn't believe it's real. So there are many ways of dealing with somebody's temper. Sometimes somebody's losing their temper is just something you could love as they're doing it. You can see children who feel that way, you know? And you love them while they're just hysterical. 212-957-2729, he says. Try writing down the things that make you angry. Writing them down may help you control your temper, to relieve the stress you may feel when you're angry. Also to avoid the step over, which is the violent reaction. Going to a gym is also another way of dealing with your aggression and your temper. Working out or running. Do you find running, Linda, is be a terrific relief?
Yes, I do. I find it amazing. I never really thought that it could possibly have such an effect upon me, but I did find, as soon as I began to run, that the feeling of when you return, it was like of a cleanse, that you were able to get rid of a lot of those kind of pent up, and yes, anger, those feelings inside of you that really it's just rage, and it's not really constructive to approach anyone on it, but just to allow yourself to run it out was tremendously helpful and continues to be one of my better copings.
So one of the things we say is the body gets loaded. Mm-hmm. And when it gets loaded with energy, sometimes you just need to get rid of some of the excess to help you get past to the next spot. When you ask yourself in 3 weeks, will this matter to me at all? It's an interesting thing. I had an argument with a friend recently, and I was having an argument with her, and I was disagreeing with her, and I was feeling strongly. And then I asked myself that question. Where will this be in 2 weeks? And it really dissipated. It really changed things a lot. 212-957-2729. We have a caller on the line, Eddie. Hi there, Eddie. It's Armand DeMille.
Hi, Armand. Thanks for taking my call.
Thank you.
I just wanted to raise, I love your show and I love the topic. It's very timely for me. I just had a big blowout with my father, who's approaching 80, and he, I would say about once a month, will have a big kind of blowout, kind of a tantrum.
And when he does, you're the target of it?
We talk about it, we kind of debrief after, and we'll say, you know, I'll sort of give him the rules where if I see that you're getting excited, I'm going to leave the room. And he hates that technique. For most people, that's okay. I'll say, you know, we could talk about it later, but if I see that you're getting agitated and upset, I'm just going to, you know, table this and come back later.
Because
and
when
we'll
he
talk
gets,
about it in that context.
When he gets agitated, does he use you as the target? Are you the one to blame?
Sometimes, yeah.
If you were not the one to blame, it would be different. If he would say he was frustrated and angry with the subway system, how would you, would it feel differently?
Yeah, it would feel much different, I think, yeah.
So the point that you have at one point, Eddie, is at points, he aims at you and a piece of you on the inside responds as if it's being attacked. And that's why it has to run away or fight back.
Yeah, absolutely.
But when you see people like, you could see your father, or I was talking about a woman who's, who may be hormonal, or when you see this happening, sometimes you could love the person while they're going through their tantrum. But it's very hard when they're blaming you.
Yeah.
When they're pointing their finger at you and saying, it's your fault. You did this. You did this. You said this. You said that. Last week you said, you know, and you get that coming at you. It's impossible to love them. It's almost like they want to stop you from loving them.
Yeah.
It's almost like, don't love me, don't love me, don't love me. Here, let me hit you with this, let me hit you with that. Oh, you didn't look at that corner. Let me tell you about last week. Let me tell you about what somebody else said. And those things stop you from loving them when all that's necessary is that the person wants to feel loved. All that your father needs at that moment is he needs to feel loved. Not just necessarily by you.
I see. But I just wonder how I can communicate that to somebody who's so angry.
Yeah. Well, how does he respond to hugs?
It depends. Yeah, you know, you could kind of, on the whole, you could take him or leave him.
Right. How does he respond to pizza?
To what?
Pizza.
To pizza?
Yeah.
He hates it.
He hates pizza. Where did that come out of? Isn't that amazing?
It's too much cheese and it's too much bread. My mom loves the stuff. My dad will never let her get it. Just to sneak it for lunch.
Well, does your father hate your mother?
No.
Mm-hmm. But she has to sneak her pizza for lunch.
She does. I mean, you know, once a year he'll be like, all right, he'll allow pizza for dinner.
One wonders why out of my brain came the word pizza.
Yeah, when
you know what I mean? Now, look at this. A major event of your family is the pizza relationship. What's going on between your mother and your father around the issue of pizza? It's a funny thing, right?
I agree.
But there's something funny about your dad feeling so bad about your mother eating pizza.
Yeah, I mean, it wreaks havoc with his stomach, I guess.
But that's the reason. There's something else. There's another association. Yeah. So I would say that he's walking around with a certain amount of tension that needs to be exploded every now and then.
Yeah.
And every now and then it builds up, but what you're seeing is never what you're seeing. What you're seeing, the anger that he's presenting, is never what he's really angry about. He's not angry about anything. He's just explosive. And if it were possible to just see him as being explosive without any of his words or any of the things he says. I mean, because what he says about pizza is ridiculous. I mean, it's just words.
Yeah.
But the main thing is he gets explosive. And here comes the big question. When you love somebody and they are acting in this crazy way and you know they're acting crazy, how do you not respond? How do you not buy into it?
It's very difficult.
Very, very difficult. And I'm saying that to you, too.
Yeah.
Wait, Linda.
Yeah, may I say, Eddie, I think that it's commendable that you have the grace to be able to discern, wow, this is an issue, let's table it and I'll return later. I think that takes a lot of wisdom because you can gracefully see that it's only behavior. It has nothing to do with the love that you have for your father. And I think it's when he invests in that sort of disconnect, critique, that it makes it difficult for you to know how to continue loving him. So I wonder again if we could think about that that hug, that maybe that could be your resolve, you know. But when you're in the midst of that, I just want to commend you to say that you don't buy into it, you don't jump into it, but you want to be able to leave it, table it, and return later. I think that takes grace and wisdom.
On right. one level, but what he's asking us is, can he go beyond that?
Yeah.
He says that he does, sure. Well, I tell you, I've spent my life trying to love people who act crazy. I have. I see it all the time. Personal relationships, you know, professional relationships. I see people get bent out of shape, some of which I cause. Mm. But once they get triggered off the other edge, I see it, and I say, okay, now how can I accept this? How can I be with this? It's a great question because you just don't believe the stories. When they point the finger at you, don't believe it.
Mm.
The minute they start saying you, then you say to yourself, I'm not going to respond. I'm not going to be a part of this discussion because they could always find a way to find fault with you. Always. And then you wind up in the battle defending yourself.
Yep.
So there could be no defense. It's a really aggressive stance. The aggressive stance is, I'm going to love you no matter what you do.
That's great.
Yeah. Thanks for calling in, Eddie.
Thanks for your help.
Sure.
Love your show. Bye.
212-957-2729. There are 10 reasons that parents lose their temper. Number one, fatigue. We quickly come to the end of our rope when we have too much to do, too little energy with which to do it. Add this to the fact that kids seem to have a limitless amount of energy, and you're already tired when you wake up in the morning. Right, Linda, you've been there?
Yes, very much so.
Right, you've had four children. Kids.
Yes.
And
yes.
Four children, and when you do that, you get tired,
mm-hmm.
and they have endless energy. Number two, projected anger. Sometimes we're ticked off at somebody else or about something that has little or nothing to do with the crisis at the moment. Unfortunately, our kids are the easiest and most accessible target of displaced anger. So we as children very often experience the tantrum of our parents aimed at us for things that we don't understand. I couldn't have been that bad. But their displaced anger comes over to us, to kids, because kids are easy targets. Unrealistic expectations. We have an agenda that does not take into account the predictability of life in general, and parenting in particular. Our kids catch the blame for our inability to fulfill our own unexpected goals. I mean, I have goals for myself, and I'm expecting the kids to help me be there, make me feel good. Failure to plan. Probably the worst temper item I know of is people who can't plan. People who cannot make a plan, who go from moment to moment, have minds that go from moment to moment. If you can't make a plan and follow a plan, your mind is not going to make a plan. And so what your mind does is scurries about. And it scurries about finding target after target after target after target. Being able to have a plan, being able to go from step A to step B and step C, really enables you to limit the amount of pressure at any given moment. So learning to make sure you set up plans if you possibly can, paying attention to plans is important. We have another call here. Let's take a call. Oh, Rashida. Hi there, Rashida. It's Armand DeMille.
Great afternoon. I know nice. It's Armand DeMille. Hi, Julian.
I know
and
it's
Linda.
Rashida. Hi.
It was good to hear a playback last week of the show. Now, what has come to me from Divine Revelations is that anger defined, it has been defined to me, and I totally concur, that anger is my resistance to what I have created.
Sure.
Okay. And I was choosing to share that.
So give me an example of it.
Anything. Come a long way, as I used to be a very angry person a lot, because out of 12 children, I was the one that was physically beaten a lot. My brother and I have a brother, and I, for some reason, we irritated the heck out my dad, and he used to beat the heck out of us. And the ones that were more docile and not as militant didn't get the physical beating. So I was very angry with my dad, and I really felt that I hated him. And when I became a parent, I had dad in me. So at some point when I saw that, how I would beat my children and do things, then I was able to stop it and see that. That's why when I heard that statement of anger is that which I am anger is that I'm resisting what I've created.
So Rashida, you never lose your temper nowadays?
I might get a little miffed, but I don't lose my temper because I know that I created. So it gives me cause to pause and see what is really happening in that thing. So it may, like I may go there, but I don't stay there. And it doesn't erupt.
But you do remember as a child.
Long way. I am so grateful for where I am today. But it had to happen as a result of the experiences that brought me to this point.
Could you do me a favor, Rashida? You're such a brave person. Could you describe...
Could I be more vague, huh?
No. Could you describe an incident of temper lost in your family when you were a kid, with you being the target?
Okay. One time I was in the bathtub. I must have been about, I'm going to say 12-ish, maybe... You know, somewhere in that puberty age, and I didn't do something that I was told to do by my dad, and he came in the bathroom and started beating the hell out of me while I was in the tub.
How? With what?
Huh?
What did he hit you with?
A belt. A thick rubber belt.
He took a belt, and you're in the tub.
Splashing all over the place, I'm screaming. You know, you really can't get out of the tub because you're like a fish flipping and flopping. I will always remember that. It was like horrifying, traumatic, and you know, it was like plus I'm, you know, pubescent, so you know, you're a girl, you know, you kind of sacred with your body type thing. It was interesting.
It's a horrible, cruel moment. Horrible
but what happens
moment.
Is we continue the cycle of pain. I see.
Wait.
We have to see that where we can stop the cycle.
Rashida, Rashida, hello.
Yeah.
Hello. I understand. I want you to go back there for a minute with me.
Okay.
Because you're showing me a picture and you're showing people a picture of what happens when people lose control. The damage it did to you, the way it hit you when you were a kid, the way that you felt at that moment, can you at all remember what it felt like after he left the bathroom?
Yes.
What was that feeling?
It was shame. It was anger. It was feeling of degradation. Degradation.
Wow.
Mostly anger. It was mostly anger. I remember when I was 13 standing over my dad with the biggest knife that I could find in the kitchen. He was asleep. And I was just begging for the strength to plunge this knife into his chest. That's how deep. But thank God he didn't wake up and I didn't plunge it, because I probably would just be getting out now to talk to you.
Rashida, you're beautiful. Thank you.
And as are you.
Thank you. Thank
and
you.
I thank you. Peace.
Bye-bye. It's amazing. It's amazing some of the things that people have survived. We're going to take a short break. Here's some special music for you. And when we come back, we'll continue with our phone calls and our program. This is especially for Rashida and for Jose and Kathleen, who will be probably listening at this moment, two beautiful people I met today. Lost tempers. Like Rashida showed us, you know, lost tempers can do such damage. And what can we do? You know, when a person loses their temper, it's not like they have it. Of course, you control it if you can. But it's so hard to do. So hard to do. So we're taking calls about the damages done through lost tempers. And we have Patricia on the line. Hi, Patricia. It's Armand DeMille.
Hi, Omar. How are you?
Good.
Oh, Rashida. I really, 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 really love her because I understand, you know, her pain.
You've been there.
Well, there's a lot of abuse going on in my house, mother and father-wise. So I walked around angry a lot. And I was, passive-aggressive, what you were talking about. The last couple of times you were talking. But, it's amazing that I learned today how to work with that. You know what I mean?
How do you work with it?
Well, I take a lot of deep breaths.
So you control yourself. You're keeping yourself under control.
Yeah.
Do you get angry often?
No, it's just not been happening.
Good.
You know what I mean? At all at this older age. Because now someone, you know how people pass you in the car, you know, and they just cut you off, whatever? That didn't happen to me, but it was kind of like that because I was in a class and this person, you know, bumped in front of me and took my spot that I always have. And I was able to just let it go. And then it would come back. You know, I would get upset. But I had to do what I had to do, so I couldn't stay focused on that. So I just let it go. And what I do is I go to the person the next day and say, good morning or hi or whatever. Just turn the whole thing around. Maybe even giving them a hug. But it's amazing because one of my cousins was telling me, he said, why did you walk around angry all the time? I held a lot in, you know, in that house, you know. I really held a lot in.
And so, what was an example? Give me an example of a time that you really had to hold it back in. When was the time that you felt there was the most abuse aimed in your direction?
Well, it was like I was supposed to go. My sister was supposed to go to the store one morning, and I ended up being the person to do it, and because she lied to my mom. And so I ended up going to the store, but then I had a traumatic experience because, in that sense, you know, I you know, so it turned into something else because I ended up almost getting raped going to the store because I wasn't focused. I was angry. I was so angry because my sister had lied that I didn't focus on what was happening. And so I got on this elevator and there was this guy on there and he had a knife and, oh, it was just terrible. And
what happened?
It's only grace of God that
Wait, give me the details. The guy comes at you. You're there in an elevator. You're scared. You're taking care of yourself. Can't move. And you're terrified.
I'm terrified. And I was 11, I think. 11.
Oh,
yeah.
Patricia. And what a thing.
Yeah. Someone came down with a Christmas tree. It was around January 4th, somewhere in there. And that's what saved me. So nothing happened to me.
No.
And I fought and I fought and I fought, you know.
What do you mean you fought?
Then I got upstairs. My mom was like, oh, okay, go in there and sit down. It was one of those type, you know what I mean, families, you know what I mean?
Yep.
Didn't matter that, you know, but she believed my sister. So I walked around with a lot of anger. I had to go through a lot after that, you know, go to court, all of that. And this guy was just everybody. I mean, all the young girls were. And it was in the papers. So my testimony helped him get some time. So, but at a young age, that was really,
what a scary thing to happen to an 11-year-old person.
Yeah.
What a scary thing. I mean, when we think about some of these horrors that we've got to go through and we put people through, I'll bet you like Christmas trees.
I love them.
Of course. Little wonder. Right?
Trees. And, you know, I try to think of positive things. It's funny, it comes back to me sometimes that the person came down with the tree that day, you know, on January 4th. I think about that sometimes. And then, like Rashida said, she lets it go, you know, she just goes and let it go, you know. Because, like you said, other people, you don't know what, you know, they may be going through, you know, that treat you mean. And believe it or not, they're senior bullies.
Sure.
And that's what, I think that's what it stems from, people walking around so angry, you know, from people, other people hurting them, that it comes out towards that person. The next person gets it.
Sounds like it does, doesn't it?
Yep.
Okay, Patricia, thank you so much for calling.
Oh, it was absolutely my pleasure.
This is Armand DeMille with you with the Positive Mind, 212-957-2729. So losing our temper is one of the most things that make us fail, makes us feel like failures. But on the other hand, suppressing it and turning it into something else, doing something vicious or feeling mean, you know what I mean? Sometimes you could suppress your anger so much that you could just treat the other person like they're dirt. They don't exist. You could smile at them and feel like they're as good as dead. So one of the things that you could do to take care of yourself when you're doing this is once you have a reality check on your perfectly executed day, seeing a situation blow up, when you ask yourself, how blown up is this? How explosive is this? How big is this? You can question the intensity of it. If it's too intense, you could hold it back a little bit. If you feel explosive, if you feel like you're going to blow up, that's when to take your break. Because there is a way of talking to somebody you love, no matter how big the disagreement, without exploding. The explosions are okay, not if they go into, but last week you said, and then you this, and then you that, and then you this. You could explode and you could say, I'm angry at you. I feel so angry. I feel terribly angry. You could say that. But when you start doing the details of the what you did last week and this is going to happen and you said, when you get into those, you're in the worst land possible. It's going nowhere. Hi, Richard. It's Armand DeMille. You're on the air.
Hi. How are you doing?
Good.
I just wanted to talk about something I think a lot of people can relate to. I'm a black male and grown up in a very, I think, repressed Christian household. And what happens with that is often I notice in my community, my church community, a lot of people have been molested and in their own by their own families, their mothers, fathers, and sometimes even by, you know, members of the church community. And it's a big problem that a lot of people don't want to talk about. And I think that's one of the biggest sources of depression in the black church community. Many people are molested and they repress it because, you know, the consequences of outing someone who's done something like that, you know, can be, you know, I guess people don't do it very often, but you would imagine that it would be very emotionally, at least, and spiritually catastrophic.
Have you been victimized this way?
I would say not maybe as bad as some other people.
How about as bad at all? How about a little bit?
Yes, a little bad, definitely.
In what form? We're trying to create pictures of what happens to people so that they could see it.
Right.
So every time I get an example of something, I cherish it.
Right. I had a mental breakdown. I was at Harvard during my undergraduate, and the stress of that kind of plunged me into depression. And I came back home, and what I noticed in my reduced state of defenses, you know, having those defenses up that you normally have when you're not depressed, and I don't want to, you know, use their names or anything. My own parents, you know, I found them to be acting lustfully towards me.
Wow.
Both my mother and father. And I think the real cause of that was just the tremendous amount of sexual repression in the black Christian.
So you had a breakdown, a mental breakdown. And when you had this mental breakdown, I'm sure what did they call it? They called it paranoia. What did they call it?
Bipolar disorder.
Bipolar disorder. Okay. And you had a bipolar breakdown. Now, during that time, did you believe that people were out to get you?
Yes, I did. I did at some points.
So there's a propensity for imagining stuff coming to you. So then you go into a family where you don't feel safe, and you have to ask yourself, am I imagining this or not?
Right.
Is this real or is it not real?
Right.
Is my mother trying to have sex with me?
Right.
Is my father trying to have sex with me?
Right.
And you have to live through that. You have to go through that.
Right. It's really an insane sort of thing to go through. And, you know, I just want to get this in there before, you know, my time is up. You know, it's just that the black Christian community, and I think Christian community in general, needs to learn to talk about sex. It's something that is normal. That's how we all get here. And the forbiddenness and taboo nature of sexual conversation has catastrophic effects on people's minds because people are repressed, and you know, lust builds and comes out in all disgusting, perverted sort of ways, and as far up as the clergy, and you know, it's really a huge problem. And so, you know, I appreciate you letting me say that.
Sure, sure. And it is, it's a, even, we've learned it all through the religious community that it is a much bigger problem because you've got people with power and you got powerless people.
Exactly.
You put those two together and somebody's going to say, let me find my strength here.
Right. And sorry, one more thing. And what happens also is people who are molested oftentimes because they have such low self-esteem want to be clergy members, and then they end up perpetuating that same abuse on others, sometimes unwittingly or maybe just as a way of sort of a subconscious psychological momentum, you know.
Amazing. Amazing. Richard, thank you so much.
Thank you.
And you know, one more thing, Richard. Having gone through what you've gone through takes amazing strength.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
You know, it's like you don't only do it for yourself. You do it for all of us.
Right. Thank you. And, you know, I
want to thank you.
Against Jesus Christ, you know, I just want to put that on the record, but that one issue needs to be talked about a lot. So thank you.
Sure. 212-957-2729. You know, Linda, the religious community. Difficult stuff, huh?
Very difficult stuff, yes. And I think you said it quite perfectly. It's wherever there's a power struggle, wherever there's people who have the power and can dominate the powerless, you're going to have, unfortunately, you're going to have abuse. And I've seen it time and time again. And once again, I thank you, Richard, for bringing that out and inviting us all to be more aware of that, because I agree with you. It's an issue that that does dominate a lot of people and wreaks havoc. So once again, I've seen it. I've been a part of it, in whether it be military, religious communities, you know, wherever there's like I say, a power and powerless place, you're going to have a tendency towards this anger, tepid tantrum.
Well, you know, abusive. You worked a lot with the military. In the military, when we think about military, we think about soldiers. Mm-hmm. We think about soldiers as strong. You know what I mean? They're strong people. They're powerful people. Yet they become victimized as well. So now you have someone who is being victimized by a larger soldier, right? And they have to powerlessly take whatever happens to them.
Yes.
And we think of it as not as important because they're grown-ups and they're strong. But the same terror, the same feeling, what must it be like to be a male sexually molested by someone who's in command? What must that feeling be like? Have you seen that?
Yes, I have seen it, and I've worked with it. And it's trauma that affects people on a very, very deep, deep level. And it's work that takes a long time to try to help them to heal. But healing does occur. And I want to be able to say that I've seen the amazing resiliency of the human soul is beyond what I can even describe. I've seen it, I've witnessed it, I've experienced it, and but yes, when there is trauma for man to experience, whether it be, you know, again, whether it be in the community or whether it be in military, it's trauma that runs very, very deep.
You know, on the other hand, what you're saying, Linda, is yes, you've seen people recover.
Yes.
Sometimes I regret their recovering. Because they never really let themselves feel what took place. Sometimes I want them to go into it rather than just get out of it. Because that's what everybody tells them to do, forget it. But sometimes that pain throws you right back to early childhood. 212-957-2729. We're speaking about tempers, loss of control, and we're speaking with George Evans. Hi, this is George. This is Armand DeMille.
Good afternoon. I'm so happy to be on air for the very first time.
Hey, congratulations, George.
I think you hit the spot to get me to call. I relate to the young woman who father entered the bathroom. I thought my incident was bad until I heard hers. That was very difficult to comprehend. But my mom, I was one of those children that seemed that there was no method of taming me for some reason or another. And I, too, once ran away from home somewhere between, I guess, 11 and 13, somewhere around there. I got upset and left home and just killed the day or evening. And then about 2 o'clock in the morning, I snuck back in home and I buried myself in the coal bin. That was in the basement.
Wow.
I just covered myself up with coal. I had no place to stay. And sometime late at night, all my life it was my job to bank the fires with the coal. So I wasn't there. I was underneath it hiding. And my mother came in. I fell asleep, and she went to shovel the coal in the stove, and I screamed. So there was a lot of commotion there, and then she told me to go get in a tub. And for an hour, I said, no, you're going to beat me. I'm not going to get in the tub. So I sat on the toilet there and just waited and waited and waited for her to break down that door. And just as soon after an hour, I got sleepy. I ran the water. I sat there and waited more and more and more. And then finally I got in the water and the door broke open. Not literally broke, but she pushed the door open. It was just held by a little chain there, a little clamp. And it was psycho. I'm standing looking at her. She's holding a lightning card in her hand wrapped around her fist, and she says to me, I will never disobey her again. And she came and started to hit me while I was in the tub. All I could think of was I had to fight for my life, and so I just threw all that water in the tub out at her as she swung. And I don't know if she was missing me on purpose or if I would go under the water in the soap, you know, soap-laden water. I'd go open with my eyes open. I would see her swing at my legs, and I'd come back up and push the water out at her. And then when she went to hit my legs, you know, I'd bring them under the water, and I'd go back down. And this went on for, I don't know, 5 minutes, it seemed. And all I could say to her was, you know, Dad is going to be upset because you flooded the floor.
And so,
you know, I don't know what it was. My father worked 2 jobs. I hardly ever saw him. And it was a nightmare forever.
It is a nightmare.
It was a nightmare. Yeah, it was a nightmare.
How old were you then?
I just lost complete trust in my mom.
Did you lose complete trust in everybody?
No, no. You know, I think God has blessed me with a good heart. And, I hardly even, you know, I talk to a few people about this when they talk about, you know, their spankings or their punishment, but never have I made anything like this that public before. But I understand, it took years for me to grow love for my mother, and I just never trusted her. My mother was a very hothead. She also had Indian in her, so she warned us. When we got to the point, she had 4 children. I was the oldest, and I had a sister. And then 10 years later, she had 2 more.
Well, George, we're going to have to be going.
Yes.
But I appreciate the story, and I appreciate hearing what you had to say. It shows us what happens to us, you know, that we would never expect has that much of an impact on the child.
Yeah.
And this had an impact on you, and you will luckily be able to find some solution around it.
Yes. That's exactly what happened. Because even my dad, he whipped my hands because I wouldn't cry. So he found out I had sensitive hands. So that's how I got my beatings on my hands. But you know, I'm healed. I'm happy. I'm well. I love my parents to death. And my mother passed at 58, and I was just sorry that I couldn't do enough for her.
Thanks for being with us today. Thanks.
Sure,
and thanks
absolutely.
For your first time being on air.
Thank you.
You could listen back to it. You know,
you
can go to thepositivemind.com and you can listen to the archives.
Yes.
And you could replay today's program. Anybody who wants to do that.
Yes. We're having trouble with our 13-year-old granddaughter, so I have forwarded this information to her parents as well as, you know, my wife.
Sure. And if we could be of any help, you let me know, George. Thank you.
Yes, absolutely. Thank you.
This is Armand DeMille with you with Linda Vanella, Julian Gioiello, The Positive Mind here at WBAI. Thank you both very much. Interesting, interesting,
welcome.
Interesting.
Very, very interesting.
We'll be back tomorrow at 1 p.m. And we'll be back soon. If you need to get in touch with me, Armand@thepositivemind.com.
Cha-cha-cha.